You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
All right, we're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north in Aria, down south Eilat, and all the great cities in between, whether it's Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and many, many more. And today we are down south in Eilat. The Sports Rabbi sits down with Alex Hamilton, the brand new star of Hapoel Eilat, coached by Ariel Beit Halachmi's team. Of course, Alex Hamilton played for Maccabi Rishon LeZion for two seasons. He since then went and played also in Turkey and Germany. Comes back to Israel looking to help out the Red Sea side, meet their expectations, and put together a good season that expected from them. It was a great conversation. We speak about a lot of different things, from his career, his most recent stops. I think you'll find it really enlightening and interesting as well. I think Alex Hamilton was a great guest and very open on a lot of different matters, so you'll enjoy that. Right after Alex Hamilton, the Sports Rabbi, speaks to Roei Shalom, of course, we do our wrap-up of Maccabi Tel Aviv, a EuroLeague action where they fall to Real Madrid 72-70 in absolutely heartbreaking fashion. We talk about that, how Gershon Yabusele went in on Ante Zizic to score the game-winning basket. We break down the game for you. We also then go to the Football Israel side of things, and we look at the midweek action, Maccabi Tel Aviv drawing with Nofa Galil, and Erwin Koeman, the Beitar coach, stepping down from his post, and Maccabi Haifa dominating the Carmel Derby, the Haifa Derby. We talk about that as well. And we look at the week ahead also coming up. So make sure you leave us a 5-star rating, and of course, make sure you also subscribe to us either iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can listen to your podcasts. Also, check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and in Hebrew. We are here for you in both languages. Alex Hamilton, he's up now. Enjoy the program.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're with Alex Hamilton. Welcome back to Israel. How does it feel to be back in the Holy Land?
Oh, it feels good. Just getting this weather, this good weather all year long. And, you know, it's an easy transition with the players being more English spoken. Uh-huh. And it's easier to communicate. So,
where do you have trouble communicating with players? Was it back in Lithuania or back in the U.S. even?
Just a little bit of everywhere. Some people just speak English a little bit more than others. Yeah. And this is one of those places where Americans feel more at home.
Yeah. You're here in Eilat, which is totally different than Rishon LeZion, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, any Bonn, wherever else you are. What have you enjoyed so far in your short time being, you know, living here in Eilat? You played here, but living here in Eilat, what's been so exciting for you?
Yeah, being able to walk out the house in shorts in December.
You can't get any better than that, right?
Yeah, no way, no chance. Yeah, I could be bundled up in 3 or 4 layers of clothing in the snow trying to get to practice, digging my car out, ice out the windshield. But yeah, it's just a blessing to be back here.
Yeah. So how has it been so far with Coach Ariel Beit Halachmi? You know, obviously a coach that's been around in Israel for many years, coached the under-20 team to 2 European championships. Nice group of guys here. What's it like to work with him?
It's different. We're just getting to know each other, really, feel each other out. We've already had some disagreements, but that's what comes with the job. As soon as the faster we figure it out, the better our team will be. And I sat down with Coach, we had a conversation, and we just pretty much figured, we was trying to figure out each other, just see how each other carries himself in different situations. And it's going to be a process, but once we get the process together, I feel like our young guys, we have the pieces to be a good team and compete in Israel.
No, for sure. You definitely have some good pieces. Team, you know, a little bit of a 500-ish start. So what have you seen from some of the guys that are here, some of the Israelis? Like Souf Ben Moshe has become a real sniper. I mean, he was not...
He's always been a shooter. I just feel like once he finds to pick his spots and just be confident to shoot it when he has the ball open and don't hesitate, he could really help us.
You know, it was, we were kind of surprised when we saw your name come up and signed with Hopole a lot. And we know that Rishon LeZion, a place you spent some good time with, played in the finals with them as well, really played at the highest level in Israel, competed for all the main trophies all the way to the end. They were obviously looking for people as well. They've been signing a number of players. How come you decided to come here? Was that ever even an option to go to Rishon?
I never heard from Rishon, honestly. They didn't reach out. I'm pretty sure they knew I was available. But whatever the situation is, I still have love for Maccabi Rishon. Spent a lot of time there, made friends and family that will last forever. But, of course, if they would offer me, I probably would more 100%. I would have went back. But that's not the situation. I'm signing a lot, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. The weather coming out. You're not going out in Rishon in shorts in December.
No.
So, like, the time you were in Rishon, you had some great, great games and a lot of fun, excitement. You know, obviously it was the start of COVID when at the end and you went to the finals, the semifinal game. What's going through your head when you see Adam Ariel hit that three-pointer in the corner for you guys?
He does it all the time. It's like, once it went up, I knew it had a chance of going in. Adam is a phenomenal shooter. And a lot of our success came from our Israeli guys. Coach really stayed on them and put a lot of pressure on them, because a lot of coaches would just put the pressure on the Americans to carry the team. But that's one thing about, I can say about guys, he put pressure on everybody. And like Oz stepped up, that's why he's at Maccabi Rishon. Adam stepped up, that's why he's at Jerusalem. And everybody was a piece of that team, and we all trusted each other and we played together. And that's a big part of our successful run.
If you had to look at a highlight over the couple seasons where you were there for yourself, what you say, wow, that was an amazing moment when?
Adam hit that shot. When we went to the, that, it had to be, yeah. Cause,
it wasn't the final, right?
Yeah, nah, because we, of course, we lost. We come up short every time. But I tell people all the time, if we had a little bit more time to rest, I feel like we could have pulled it off. Just with Jerusalem and Maccabi having a bigger roster, it's hard to just have one day off in between those games. And you know, they have a big budget, so they rotating guys. We were playing seven or eight guys the whole game, and it takes a toll on you, but it is what it is. It's part of basketball, part of life, and you take your punches and move on.
You enjoy playing with D'Angelo Harrison that season?
I love D'Angelo. That's my guy. That's my guy. He's crazy, though. That's just him. He's a good guy, though, but he's just, yeah, you know D'Angelo.
He is amazing. You know, you went to Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
Played with a couple players that are here right now. I mean, Michael Kaiser,
yeah.
You played with them. What were some of the highlights for you and, you know, playing in college? And also, you know, what did you take out of that experience?
Just having fun, playing hard. We were a group of guys that prided ourselves on defense, and Coach White really just let us go on offensive end. And we had guys that liked to share the ball, get up and down, and play together. And we had success there also. So it's just all about your pieces and everybody trusting each other and working together. And once that happens, the team can go to any height.
Was there any specific players you either patterned your game after or you really watched and you said, wow, I want to be like that, or I want to take certain things from that player?
It's not just one specifically, but my favorite player was more like Penny Hardaway, Tracy McGrady, and then along came James Harden, the left-handed. But I just try to take a little piece from everything, just watch basketball and see how guys, you know, read the game. Because basketball isn't that hard. It's only hard if you make it. So if you can use your mind and outsmart guys sometimes you don't have to use all your athleticism or your energy on certain plays. And that's what I've learned, and just try to still pick up things along the way.
You know, you just mentioned left hand. So you do a lot of your shooting with your left.
Right.
But you dribble with your left a lot. When you finish your layups, you finish with your right hand a lot. What's the story with that? You're right, are you a righty in disguise?
No, I was. It was when I was younger, playing City League. Had missed a lot of layups in the game, and my dad made me stay after and do 100 layups with my left and 100 with my right. So He's a big part of the reason I can finish well with both hands.
Oh, so that's very interesting. So you are a lefty.
Yeah, I'm lefty.
Right now. Some of us were always trying to figure out, is he a lefty or a righty? What's the story there?
My coach in college used to say I was amphibious, Mike White, but he's just a little joke he had. But yeah, I can use both hands well.
You know, you played in the G League for a bit. What did you get out of that experience? And did you think that was going to be a platform that maybe we're going to be able to make it to the NBA?
A lot of times came where I was on the verge of a call-up, and they just really took veteran guys that already had experience, and that's just how it goes sometimes. And then in Windy City, the injury bug hit. I had two good games where one of the players had got ejected, and I had to step up and play, and I played great in that time. And was looking to get a call up, but it never came. But that's just how things go, like I said. But I'm fully confident in my ability to play at that level. When the opportunity comes, or if it comes, I'll be ready.
Yeah. You were playing in Lithuania, I remember, and then you came over to Rishon, and I remember being in the press conference, like you mentioned before, and you were like, you just felt that the Israeli league fit your style really nicely. Since then, you were in Rishon for a couple seasons, and you traveled a little bit. You played in Bonn this past year. What did you enjoy in the German league?
I mean, it was a rough time, honestly. That whole last year was a rough time for me. Mentally, I wasn't in the greatest headspace with basketball, and I was just kind of ready to get through. I was just trying to get through the season. And me stepping away from basketball for a little bit, coming back now, I think it really helped. It was a good move for me, because honestly, if I would have came right back and still been in that headspace, I don't know where my career would have went with basketball. It could have went south, honestly. But yeah, I'm just happy to be through it. I'm thankful for Bonn taking me after I left Galatasaray, giving me a chance to compete. And I mean the German league is a great league. Just wish we could have did more, wish it could have been different, but like I said, you don't get to go back. It is what it is. You got to keep rolling.
What's the goals for Alex Hamilton for this season coming up, personal and team goals?
Just show people I'm back healthy. I think people feel like I was affected by the procedure I had, which is, it wasn't a major procedure. Just showing people I'm back to me. Just grind and help the team win and just be who I am.
Something interesting that people don't know about you?
Something interesting that people don't know about me? That's a tough question. I ain't think about that one.
All the hard questions.
Yeah. I'm going to get back to you on that one. I got to think about that one. Because I don't know what people know. So I might say something, then they know it. Good. The internet is crazy these days.
you definitely have the skills. I mean, it's clear to play at the highest levels. What do you think you need to do to get to the EuroLeague? You know, you played a little bit of the EuroCup, but I'm talking about to get to the EuroLeague, to get to the NBA, because it seems you have all the tools, the leadership skills also, you have those intangibles that everybody's looking for. What does Alex Hamilton need to do to get there?
I guess higher my percentage from the three-point line, but I see a lot of people that don't shoot as well as me that are in the NBA and the EuroLeague, and that, like, so I don't know why they keep saying that or whatever, because I know what I bring to the table. I'm a winner, so I'm going to find a way to win, and I know how to play at that level, so I'm just keep progressing in my game, keep working on my craft, and let the chips fall where they may.
You know, we saw this little practice 5-minute game here at the end of the first one. You hit a nice little three-pointer from over there, right, to win the game.
Yeah, that's why I can shoot the ball. I just know that I have guys around me that can shoot it better. Like, it's no shame in being honest with yourself, and that's what makes a great team. When you're honest with yourself and you know your role. And I think that's another reason why we had the success we had in Rishon. Like, guys understood their role, and everybody played their part. And I'm willing to play my part.
Well, we want to wish you the best of luck, and we want to wish you the best of success. And hopefully one day, when I come calling in the NBA, Alex says, yeah, I remember you. You can all interview
me. Let him through. I got you for sure.
All right, okay. Thanks a lot. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi Josh Halachman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north in Aria, down south to Eilat, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Alex Hamilton. Of course, Alex Hamilton, an Israeli League veteran, signed with Hapoel Eilat. They're going to be playing against Hapoel Jerusalem on Friday. So you may be even listening to this podcast after he already played, just before he played, while he's playing. So excited that Alex Hamilton gave us some time down in Eilat this week. And of course, now we turn it over to the Holy Land Hoops, and we bring on, of course, on Friday when we record, Roei Shelem. We're going to be talking about Maccabi Tel Aviv and Real Madrid EuroLeague heartbreaker. And we'll go through the Israeli soccer. We had a midweek round, and then, of course, we'll look forward to the picks coming up. Roei Shelem, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. All right. A good and long Thursday evening with lots of sports and you know, now with the soccer back and double week action and just so much to watch, so to the good and the bad, and I guess we'll just go through everything.
You know, don't I sound a little bit mellow for just watching Maccabi Tel Aviv lose 72-70 to Real Madrid, a game that they should have never lost, a game that I actually picked Maccabi to win? I know that in our earlier week podcast with Moshe and Dov, the sports rabbi, you know, looked at the two of them. They all laughed at me when I said, I think Maccabi is going to win. And I almost had the last laugh, except Maccabi couldn't figure out how to hold a lead, especially in the fourth quarter. They allowed Thomas Hertel to absolutely destroy them. And then, of course, his landsman from France, Grishin Yabusele, just – you know, demolish them inside for most of the game. And then he comes up with the big winning basket. Then what could you do? I mean, listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they're 7-6 right now. They're still like hanging around there, but it's like they're hanging on for dear life if they're going to have any designs on making it into the playoffs at this point. This was a killer. It was a lot worse than any of the other losses that they've suffered recently. Because it was so close, a game that they should have had, a game that they could have had, a game that they would have had, and they just couldn't hang on. And I'll tell you, I have not thought that Real Madrid has been strong all season long, and I was proven correct again. Real Madrid, even though they're now 11-2, are just not that good a team, but yet they are a good enough team that they know how to win these games when it comes down to the wire, when they're down going into the fourth quarter, Maccabi in cruise control. All they had to do was just, you know, keep it in, you know, fourth gear. They didn't even have to go to fifth gear. They just needed to keep it in fourth gear for the fourth quarter, and they just couldn't do it. And Thomas Hertel killed them, big shot after big shot. Didn't matter. Scottie Wilbekin couldn't inbound the ball when they needed to inbound the ball, and he had a five-second violation. You know, whatever could go wrong at the end of the game went wrong in typical fashion. And we're going to hear about all the small details. It's all in the little details, all in the little details. Now a team like Real Madrid, why are they 11-2, Roei Shelem? Tell me why. Because they know how to win, and they know how to get down to a science, all the little details. And Maccabi Tel Aviv, just as they did last year, and just as they did this year, they cannot figure out the little details. And that's what it comes down to it. They're just, you know, I don't want to say that Maccabi Tel Aviv is not good enough. I think that they're a good team, but boy, there's some inconsistencies out there. I thought that Giannis coached a great game. I thought the big lineup was good when he had Calloyaro out there, and he even had Blazer out there, and Blazer really paid him back with two big three-pointers. Thought he put in some very, very good minutes. You know, Calloyaro again. How many points did Calloyaro have today, Roei Shelem? That would be 2 points, and at least he only played 18 minutes. He didn't play 28 minutes. But again, I thought he played good. I thought he played decent. I thought Roman Sorokin was good. John DiBartolomeo, I thought, was also very good for the minutes he was out there. I had a lot of confidence in that. James Nnolli was just awful. Awful with 2 points. Zizic was good. Jalen Reynolds was typical Jalen Reynolds. He was good. I wish he would have been a little bit better. But Jalen Reynolds can't walk away from a game like that with just one rebound. That can't happen. And you know how many rebounds Ante Zizic had in this game? 3. It can't be. I mean, I know that the percentages were, you know, okay, they were in the mid-50s, but the three-point percentages were pitiful for both teams. You know, what could you do? They're just not that good enough. And I thought Cameron Taylor also did not play well. I did not think he had, you know, a good game. I've seen him play better. Again, if I had to take my bright lights out of this, you know, Scotty had a good game. Keenan Evans is a little bit inconsistent. He was okay, though. Derek Williams was not great. Sorkin, I thought, was good. I liked what John did. Oz Blazer did very good for his 6 minutes. Zizic was okay, but you know, it comes down to the small details, right? And Gershon Yabusele took the ball to the hole and made sure he scored those two big points at the end of the game, and that was it. You know, what else could you say? Their centers outscored Maccabi centers. You have three big men in Poirier, Tavares, and Yabusele. I mean, Yabusele is probably a power forward, but whatever. Your big men score, you know, 35 points, and Maccabi Tel Aviv's big men scored, let's see, 10, 18, 20, 30 points. So there's the game for you. That's it. Game, set, match. That's what's going to happen. What can I tell you?
Yeah, you just can't lose the last quarter 22-11.
Oh, you can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Giannis, you can't do it. Can't lose a game like that.
You know, you were able to stop Real Madrid on 20s. It was 2017-13 and then allowed 22. And you came into the fourth quarter with a 9-point lead, and you know, the 9 points felt like two. When that happened, because you knew Real Madrid is going to come back, and they just didn't have the power, the juice in the end to finish it. That's you know what happened, and in the last like 3 minutes, Real Madrid was able to do the comeback, and with a minute left, they took the lead for the first for the first time in a while, and that's what hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's why the game is disappointing. But you know, he didn't go with Sorkin in the end. You know, Sorkin had, if you ask me, a great game, and he's showing up as one of Maccabi's better. I think he might be the best defender out of the bigs for Maccabi. And I think that for what he brought, that is pretty much leading the team in rebounds with five, crazy to say it like that, playing only 15 minutes and leading the rebounds with five, you need him for that matter, and for his defense, even though he did have four fouls. But, you know, I think he needed to be there. And as you said, I think that the first lineup didn't go well in the first minutes. Watching John, watching Sorkin, watching, it was Cagliaro. It was just a different lineup. And that what went, that's what worked for Maccabi throughout the game, as crazy as it sounds, that Maccabi's bench was better than Real's, and it seemed like Maccabi's like the deeper team tonight, but just like the starters didn't look great. Now, Keenan Evans had a tough time defensively on Hertel, that had a great game, you know, on him, but he took pretty much control in the fourth. Like without Keenan's points, you know, no one's scoring for Maccabi. And, you know, there were a couple of shots by Scotty that were forced shots, and the ball didn't move well. Just, you know, the typical Maccabi way. And that's a disappointing part for me, because you know, we've seen Maccabi know how to play inside for Zizic, play inside for Reynolds, and for me, it was typical. Zizic is, if Tavares is in. For me, it was supposed to be Reynolds is in. You know, you want to take Tavares out of the paint, and you know, and what does Reynolds do best? Shoot from mid range, and then you know, take the advantage of Williams and even Sorkin inside, for that matter. So I don't know. I understand that Zizic has been your guy throughout the time, throughout times, but you know, he was just, you saw Tavares just be dominant.
Yeah, man, that's Tavares. That's
and even though he had only 9 points, but he had 8 rebounds, 4 offensive boards when Maccabi had 7 in total. He had 4 only himself. So so that says everything for me. And I think that's, in the end, missed the game. And you know, if you compare it to the Cheska game, that these are 2 games that Maccabi could have won. And, you know, if you talk to players around the team, I'm sure they'd say these were supposed to be 2 wins for us now looking back.
There's been a lot of wins that should have been for us while looking back this season. I can count a whole slew of those types of games, Roy Shalom. I hate to break it to you, right? Oh, boy. Yeah, it's just... You know, of course, we're on here with Roy Shalom talking about Maccabi Tel Aviv 72-70. Heartbreaking defeat at Real Madrid. Would have been the first time since 2010 that they would have won in Madrid. It was not to be, unfortunately, for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Just some quick quotes out of the press conference here. Yanis Varopoulos says, one bright light that he can take out of this game is that a close 2-point loss like this, you know, shows that we can definitely win these types of tough games. That was the positive that he...
I don't know about the win. I don't know about the win part. I know about maybe being in the area of winning, you know. Yeah, they are in the area of winning these games. They're not winning these games. That's the difference. You know, if I had to work on those quotes and put them to correction.
That's the problem. They're not winning these games. You know, Giannis can talk about that for, you know, until the cows come home. But you got to win the games. Got to win the games. Roy Shalom, any final thoughts on this Maccabi defeat? I mean, I don't even know what else to say. Next week, they have a tough game. They have a tough game coming up. And every game here in the EuroLeague is tough. There's against Unix Kazan. It's not an easy game. It's a home game, but not an easy one. 3-game losing streak right now in the EuroLeague. Not exactly what the doctor ordered, was it?
No, but, you know, it's something that I don't want to say expected, but yeah, pretty much like you could have seen that happen.
I think we both feel like, well, you know, this is the raw emotions. Like, I'm not going crazy. Like, you know, sometimes the sports rabbi would be going nuts, though, right? I'm not even going crazy. I'm sitting here. I'm still reflecting. This is literally, we're recording this minutes after the game. And I got to tell you, I mean, like, you know, wasn't pleasant, wasn't pleasant, but, listen, Real Madrid, that's why they're 11-2, right?
Yeah. And one last thing, Maccabi's record on the road is just, pitiful. I'm just looking at it. Pathetic. Yeah. They have 2 wins, against, Villarban and Baskonia, and they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's already 5 losses on the road. So a 2-5 just won't work. You know, you need to be around the 500 on the road if you really want to be, as crazy as it sounds, elite now in the EuroLeague, because the way the EuroLeague this year, and the standings and everything being so close, and you know, it's going to be tight, you know, and when you look at the standings right now, You know, you have Anadolu Efes that probably will pass Maccabi if they win, which will leave Maccabi out of the top eight.
Mm-hmm. Listen, now Moshe Halachman says that they're not making the top eight. They're going to be dreaming in Technicolor to make the top eight.
They're gonna fight for that seven. For me, it was fighting for that six, seven, eight. Six is the best scenario I see this team finishing this year. But you know, if they don't change this road woes, it's just, you know, they have no chance for the playoffs. If you ask me, if this is the pace for the rest of the season.
Yep. Unfortunately, that is what the facts are. Sorry to break it to the fans that are out there listening to this, but the facts are the facts.
They could have been 4-3. As crazy as it sounds, they could have been 4-3 on the road, and saying, you know what, they were already in Baskonia, they were already in Moscow, Madrid, and Olympiakos, and you would say, you know what, 4-3, incredible, right? But 2-5 is just a different story.
Yep, it is. What can I tell you? All right, I think we'll mercifully move on right now. I don't know what else there is to say, but of course, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halfman, Roe Show. Of course, if you like this podcast, make sure you subscribe to it, leave us a 5-star rating. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the rest of the stuff. I'm just at a loss for words right now. I don't know what else to say. They play Nessiona on Sunday, 6:00. They're going to be a very down in the dumps team. They're not going to be happy to go play that game. Giannis is going to have to play the mental game with them now. Not going to be.
Yeah, they'll be fine against Nessiona. Let's put it, you know,
Of course, they had the player of the month and the coach of the month. Nessiona did, by the way, in the Israeli league.
Yeah, you know, Nessiona is one of the, you know, Nessiona every year is just like that dark horse, and they're a good team for the Israeli league. But again, Maccabi Tel Aviv will be fine against Nessiona. Let's put it like that.
I got a couple of tweets coming in as we're recording here right now. They said that Oren Caspi says, how many more games Wilbekin needs to lose with his hero ball before Giannis benches him in the final 5 minutes? So,
yeah,
right. Listen, I don't think that I don't think that Scotty was the player that won or was going to win or lose. I mean, maybe he would have won it, but I don't think he lost the game. I know he didn't get that ball in on the inbound, but that's not. I don't think Scotty was the guy that lost this game.
No.
It's all in the small details. All in the small details. Another quote coming in here. Giannis is on the hot seat right now.
Yeah, right.
I don't think Giannis is on the
hook. It's far from that. It's just far from that.
I don't think Giannis is on the hot seat either.
Maccabi Tel Aviv is looking financially and just thinking about dropping Giannis financially wise. They'll just not do it. Unless really they'll lose now another, let's say, 4 straight. I want to say that's when his seat will be, you know, they'll look at his seat, but yeah, you know, losing,
that's not happening yet.
It's losing three road games in the end of the day. You know, if they lose in Tel Aviv, that's a different story, but
I don't see that
happening.
Okay. Let's move it along here, okay? We're going to switch over now to the football Israel side of the program, if we may. And I think we go right into there's a number of big stories here. How come it's always the same teams with the big stories? Beitar Jerusalem, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa. Where would you like to start, Roy Shalom? Should we start off with Maccabi Tel Aviv?
Yeah,
Okay, Maccabi
Tel Aviv. We're on the same note already, so
I mean, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they take a 1-0 lead over Hapoel Nova Galil. Talbotheim scores a nice goal. They give up a goal, and literally Barak Itzchaki has no clue what to do the rest of the game. Can't figure out how to get his players to score a winning strike against Yaron Hochenbaum and Hapoel Nova Galil, who... I bet you that 99% of the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans couldn't probably name you one player other than Vicky Chachalon, I think, on that team. I think we both picked them to win Maccabi Tel Aviv in this round. That didn't happen. It was a pathetic display of soccer, like really pathetic. To make matters worse for the team and for management, do you know how many season ticket holders did not show up to that game?
No.
8,000 season ticket holders did not show up to the game. They had 10,000 fans or so. Could you imagine 8,000 fans on a holiday week with Hanukkah school out, and all they could muster to Bloomfield Stadium was 10,000 fans, 8,000?
I'm just not surprised with the way the team is playing. Why suffer the drive to Yafo and go through all of that, watch a bad game again, another bad game by Maccabi Tel Aviv, 90 minutes, and then go home and say, why did I go? So just stay home. And that's what they're doing.
Awful game.
And this team is just not going to... The crazy thing is Maccabi Tel Aviv's record in Bloomfield this year. Like everything other than home field advantage is Bloomfield for Maccabi Tel Aviv this season.
It doesn't matter where they're playing. They're awful. They're awful. The fans are not happy. Mitch Goldhar is missing in action. Totally. Whereas the Montreal Canadiens, and I bring this up a lot because obviously from Montreal and I'm a big Canadiens fan, and I listened to all their games in the middle of the night like a crazy man. And they decided they had a horrible start this year. They were in the Stanley Cup finals last year. They had a horrible, brutal start, like 5-20 or something to start the season, or 5-15, whatever it is. And they decided to unload the general manager, assistant general manager, director of scouting, this, that. And they just, they're going to just turn the page and, go for a rebuild right now. And owner gets up there, has a 1-hour press conference. Mitch Goldhar is like totally MIA. You read a lot of these articles in the various different sports websites. And I got to tell you, nobody rips into Tel Aviv.
No one has a clue. Not only the journalists. Barak Itzchaki has no clue.
He does not know how to be a soccer coach. Also, I mean, let's be honest over here.
I don't think he ever wanted to be one.
Maybe down the road.
It's in the end of the day when your job is to be, let's say, the manager, and then they tell you, "Hey, listen, we need you to." Do some technician. A lot of times the managers won't know what to do to code and those type of stuff. They might know the basic of coding or the general idea about coding, but don't let them code. And that's pretty much what Barak Itzchaki is going through right now with a bunch of letters that are pretty much players. And he's trying to press the button, and there's no right button right now that is just, giving him a game that is just giving coding a game and a good game. And the difference between this draw to the win over Hapoel Haifa is there was no Antony to score 2-1 goals. If Antony doesn't score the 2-1 goals, Maccabi Tel Aviv finishes in a 1-1 draw. So there. So it's just like, this is what Maccabi Tel Aviv is worth right now. Barak Itzchaki tried to do additional changes. There was Halaila Talib Rahim stayed in there. Talib Rahim scored again.
Osama Khalil is just, he's all, I don't know if he's awful or he just, I don't even want to blame him to some extent, because I think he was put in a position that he was never going to be able to succeed in right now. There's no, yeah. no coach, no direction, no clue. I mean, just no clue, no clue, none whatsoever. But you know what? The similarities of Maccabi Tel Aviv and the Montreal Canadiens are this. Both ended up, you know, kind of, you know, doing unexpected things at the end of last season. And they ended up giving their coaches nice extensions. Maccabi Tel Aviv got rid of theirs. The Canadiens got rid of everybody else except for the coach. he's the only guy that survived. And he's basically a dead man walking anyway. It's just a matter of, you know, probably they'll play it out for the year and that will be the end of him. But it's just, yeah, Maccabi Tel Aviv. I think let's move on. Of course, we're on here with Rabbi Shalom, sports rabbi. Let's move on to Beitar Jerusalem. Is it any surprise that, A, Beitar Jerusalem was god-awful against Bnei Sakhnin and Sakhnin? B, that Irwin Cohen decided to resign and retire from coaching club teams? He had to get out of here, and, you know, he's out the door. I can't blame him. Mm-hmm. I don't blame him whatsoever. It's like a soap opera with that team as the world turns. And then on top of all that, we can talk about Sakhnin for a second also. The stadium, Doha Stadium, has now been closed by the police because this is basically a stadium that is not up to standards. And of course, the Sakhnin management is saying, oh, this is against the Arabs and it's against this and it's against that. And, you know, they never look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, maybe we're the ones that are wrong. You know, it's always, we're being blamed because of X. We're being blamed because of Y. And like, no, you guys have to look in the mirror. You don't have your act together. Your stadium is a dump. It's not normal that you have fans from other teams taking a side road through dirt and from parking at Park Australia, whatever you're doing. That's not normal. That's just not normal. It's not normal in the year 2021 that you have people selling tickets on the side outside of the stadium, cash only. It's not normal that you don't have proper facilities in the stadium. It's just not normal. And the crazy thing is that the league, ultimately, in my mind, this lies with the league. The league allowed them to get away with it. And the league didn't put a stop to it. And they just wanted to like brush everything aside like they usually do. You know, anytime that there's some kind of controversy, the Israeli Soccer League decides to just, you know, tippy toe around the subject and kind of like talk about what the story is, but not really say what the story is because they're afraid to insult anybody. And, you know, and the police decided to close them down because the league is weak. The league is just weak. And they're, you know, they have their own interests.
Yeah, there's nothing about them being Arabs, and that's the reason. It's just,
yeah, don't, like, you know, double units don't start playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't see anything good happening out of this in the end, and we'll have to see how this whole situation is going to be, because it's getting ugly. It's not only even on the soccer side right now, it's going to politics and it's going to also those areas with Ahmed Tibi being for Sakhnin and Itamar Ben-Gvir for Beitar and against Sakhnin. So it's just getting uglier and uglier from week to week. It's every single week where every single time a game is at Sakhnin, there's a problem with it. And it's been all season long. So that's the Sakhnin part. We'll have to see and monitor what is going to happen there. And on the Beitar side, this is the start of the free fall.
Well, the free fall, you know, I think started. I mean, yeah, on top of that, of I mean, course, their owner's in jail. His time in jail keeps getting extended. Thankfully, we don't hear from him now. We don't hear from him. We hear about him.
He doesn't have news, social media.
Him, right? He's been closed down. Right.
I'm interested to know what he thinks about Beitar's situation right now and how they've been playing, because I'm sure we would have heard a lot from him after these couple of games and those type of stuff. We're not, and just, you know, talking about Coleman, you know, I talked about it in that show that it feels like it, and it really, you know, it happened, and now they're going to play Maccabi Tel Aviv. That is, I don't know if it's good or not for them, but he didn't want to be a part of another shit show with Beitar. He understands that this is going to get uglier and uglier. COVID is getting worse in all over the world, pretty much. So he was like, you know what? Let's say goodbye. Let's say thank you. I think he did really. He said that he felt a connection to this club. I think there was something about that. You know, I don't know. I liked when he was here, but and I think he could have helped Beitar in different ways. But, you know, Beitar is just a mess. And another note is we don't have a foreigner coach in Israel right now. On the soccer pitches, and that's for the first time in pretty much since Jordy came to Maccabi Tel Aviv. So yep. That's also an interesting note. And the biggest winner out of it is Maccabi Haifa in the end.
Maccabi Haifa. Maccabi Haifa 5-1 winners in the Derby Hapoel Haifa. It was just a blowout from the beginning of the game, 3-0, you know, after the first half. It may have been 6-7-0 had it not been Ohad Levita making a couple of really good saves. Dean David with a couple of goals. Listen, Hapoel Haifa was just totally outclassed. Maccabi Haifa is the best team in the league. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's just going to be a matter of time until they catch up to Hapoel Be'er Sheva. I mean, Hapoel Be'er Sheva will falter. It's literally just a matter of time until they do falter. And, you know, I know Hapoel Be'er Sheva won 2-1 against Hapoel Tel Aviv. They didn't do so convincingly. A couple of penalties over there. Nikita Rukavica's shorter penalty. He had Abu Abid with a penalty, the game-winning penalty. But I think it's just a matter of time until Maccabi Haifa get to them. Right now, 25 points for Be'er Sheva, 23 for Maccabi Haifa. The other games, Petach Tikva, Hadera 1-1. Ashdod beats Netanya 1-0 in Netanya. And Hapoel Jerusalem, they fall to Kiryat Shmona 1-0. Any other thoughts on these games? And we'll just go into the games that are coming up for this coming weekend.
Not really. You know, Haifa played well. This Maccabi Haifa played well against Hapoel Haifa. We're starting to see them getting into a better rhythm pretty much now, dropping out of Europe already. Mm-hmm. So this is pretty much now only league for them. I think you feel it that, okay, we're gonna, you know, if we were like on the second gear, third gear in the Israeli league, now let's get to fourth and let's start pushing. And they just didn't need a push from the first leg, from the first feature. So that's even better for them. And they're supposed to be, through, hopefully for them, healthier going forward because they're still not healthy in many, many different positions.
Yep. All right. So let's take a look at the games coming up this coming weekend. I feel like it's been more soccer here. Hapoel Hadera, Bnei Sakhnin. Who are you taking in this game?
Bnei Sakhnin is on a roll.
Yeah. That's who the sports rabbi is taking.
Yeah. But again, it's going to be that surprise that in the end you're like, oh, Hadera, okay, Sakhnin was on a roll.
Yeah, because nobody Sakhnin's has points.
Role is over.
Nobody has points in this league. Like you look at the points, right? 25, 23, 18, 17, 15, 15, 15, 14, 13, 12, 12, 11, 10, 9. I mean, like, everybody's bunched
they're just
here.
It's just, do you want points today? Okay, how much do you want? Okay, 3. Okay, you'll take it this time. I'll take it from next week's team. Yeah. Let's, like, talk about it. Okay, let's just, they're all in the mix. They're all in the mix to win the championship. In other words, they're all in the mix to drop out. Not really, but you know what I'm saying.
All right. Ashdod goes to Maccabi Petah Tikva. The sports rabbi is taking Ashdod over here. Petah Tikva has just been
Petah Tikva.
You're taking Petah Tikva.
I'm taking Petah Tikva. Just because, you know.
You can have them.
It's literally just because Ashdod beat Netanya. Not expected. We didn't expect that. And you know. And at some point, Petah Tikva needs to win.
So. Yep. Yeah, at some point they have to win, but I'm still going to take Ashdod. Kiryat Shmona hosts Maccabi Netanya up in the band box up north. I'm going to go with Netanya here. You know what? I'm going to go with a draw, and I rarely take draws, but I will go for a draw in this game.
I'll also take a draw here.
All right. Hapoel Tel Aviv, welcome Hapoel Jerusalem, and I don't see any situation where Hapoel Jerusalem is going to win this game.
Yeah, I'll go with Hapoel Tel Aviv. Hopefully, we'll hear Kninger.
Well, he was complaining yesterday. Also, I mean, of course, he's always going to complain about something. Nofa Galil host Maccabi Haifa.
Haifa wins over 2 goals.
All right, that's fairly easy. Haifa over there. Beitar Jerusalem hosts Maccabi Tel Aviv. What a great game that's going to be at Teddy Stadium on Sunday night. Oh, man.
With the way their games have been, Maccabi Tel Aviv, I'll take 1-1 unless, like, Orel's gone, he scores, like, an own goal, and that's how Maccabi Tel Aviv will win.
So who are you taking, Maccabi?
The question is... Yeah, I'll take Maccabi here.
So is the sports rabbi. And finally, Hapoel Haifa hosts Be'er Sheva. And I do believe Be'er Sheva is going to win this game in Sammy Ofer. They play decently well up there. I think that they'll win.
I'll take a draw.
You'll take a draw. All right, there you have it. Roy Shalom, an honor and a pleasure. This was an interesting show. Not the usual Friday special that we have, but due to the circumstances, we wanted to get on. And this is a lot of fun. I want to wish everybody out there a happy Hanukkah. Where can people reach out to you, Rabbi Shalom?
So you can reach out at rshalom on Twitter or Roy Shalom on LinkedIn. Feel free, even over there. Roy with a Y-E in the end. Yeah, it's different, but that's how my parents decided to write my name. So.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We'll allow that.
Yeah. I'm already over it. So R-O-Y-E. Yeah.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and in Hebrew. We are here for you. Leave us a 5-star rating, subscribe to us, and hope you enjoy the program as we love this. Episode 250 is coming up early next week. We have a very, very special guest. Don't want to ruin it right now, but very special guest, a very nice and, well, I don't want to say nice, a nice guest. I wouldn't say it's a nice topic, but it's a timely topic. It's a timely topic, and it is really an interesting interview that I'm sure everybody will enjoy in episode number 250 coming up early next week. Looking forward to speaking to you. For now, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom and Happy Hanukkah from the land of Israel.